This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
An estimated 100,000 Aboriginal children lived in the system of residential schools from the 1930s to the 1990s. Many were forced to leave their families and attend the schools, and many suffered physical and sexual abuse while there. While more than 12,000 survivors of residential schools have filed compensation lawsuits, fewer than 1,500 of them are using Ottawa's current resolution procedure, which has been estimated to take up to 50 years to clear the backlog of cases. The federal government has just appointed former Supreme Court Judge Frank Iacobucci to mediate compensation packages to survivors and to consider a process for truth and reconciliation. While the appointment of Iacobucci was welcomed, many Native people feel they have suffered deeply in the process of trying to be compensated for the injustices. Martha Joseph was part of a group of Alberni residential school survivors who took the government and the United Church to court, and she has been walking for 5 years to highlight the suffering of First Nations people at residential schools and in the years since. She's now walking from BC to Ottawa. Martha began walking on this leg of her journey from Kelowna with two other elder women who are survivors of residential schools, and we've reached her this morning in Calgary, Alberta. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you today.
Yes, it's a beautiful morning.
Good. Can you tell us what you remember about the day you were taken away from home to go to residential school?
Yes, I remembered my sisters, my two older sisters. I remember my dad, but I can't put a face on him. I remembered my mom running by the train with her arms outstretched. She was saying something and crying.
And you...
I remember those things, yes.
How old were you?
I was 5 years old. My sister was 3. And they took us away from home, and they told us that my mom and dad could not afford us, so they gave us away, and we believed them.
When did you next see the other members of your family?
After 13 years of being in a residential school, we didn't know one another. I never talked to them. They were strange to me, and they didn't speak English, not too well, broken English. And they were so different, so strange. And they said the same thing about us.
So you did you see your family again after you were in residential school?
I stayed home for a little while, and then I just couldn't take it because their lifestyle was different. I couldn't acquire the kind of food they were eating. Even though they gave us slop in school and tainted food, and I gave them a hard time, and I walked out of the house and I never looked back.
Now, you stayed in residential school for 13 years.
Yeah.
How were you treated there?
Pretty bad. I didn't know what I was punished half the time. You know, every day, pretty well every day, I was punished for using our language. I was trying to teach my sister and trying to protect her, but they separated us and I wasn't allowed to see her for quite a while. The only time I seen her is when we're going lining up for the dining room or going to the assembly hall for service.
And did you experience abuse when you were at the school, in addition to just being a 5-year-old separated from your parents and living under those conditions?
Yes, I did. I was abused and physically, mentally, and sexually abused over and over. And I tried to tell the matron there what was going on, and she tell me that I was a dirty, lying little Indian, that I would never change. Making up stories like that would cost me so much trouble, and that I'd be a laughing stock in school. So I kept everything inside me. Even when I went to court, I didn't want to tell because there was lots of outside people that were sitting in there listening to us in the courtroom, and I didn't want to tell exactly what happened and what I went through at school. It was too shameful for me.
Martha, you went through two rounds of court proceedings to try and be compensated for what happened to you at residential school, and we're just talking about that experience. What was the whole experience of going through court trying to achieve a sense of justice? What was your experience there?
It was horrific. It was so shameful to me. It feels like I've been re-raped, but in public this time. And so embarrassing. You have to relive the whole scene of the residential school. I even started smelling everything about the residential school and smelling about the men that did that to me, the principal and the vice principal.
So now you've, and actually for the last 5 years you've taken up walking as a path to try and achieve a sense of healing and also to bring awareness to the situation of Native people who went through schools. Why are you walking now to Ottawa? What message do you have that you want people to understand?
Because it angers me to hear that some of the badly damaged children that went to residential school were only getting 1,000. And so a lot of them died. Like my cousin died the day she got, after she got her settlement. It wasn't very much. And she never got to enjoy spending a penny of it. How many more people like that's going to go? So many of them have gone across already. And especially my sister. I'm writing a biography of my life. And from the people that helped me about my walk, and I've asked people, can I use your name in my biography? And they said, okay. Mm-hmm. So it should be finished after this walk.
Now, can you tell us the story of when you were walking in BC on your way to revisit the residential school in Port Alberni? You were telling me that you were met by the RCMP at a roadside rest area near the end of your trip. What happened then?
They had red coats on, and they were dressed up nicely, and they had a hand-carved canoe waiting for me when I went outside from the rest area. And there was a truck that was pulling the hand-carved canoe, and I couldn't stop crying when they put me in there. And especially going across, there was lots of drummers and singers and dancers behind. And the street people that were jogging around, they turned around and walked up to Port Alberni with me, or to Alberni Residential School. At the end of the bridge, before we went up to the old school, there was drummers and dancers there. And they marched me up, and then they took me off the canoe and took me into the longhouse there, and they cleansed me. The women cleansed me and brushed me off. And then the chief spoke, took turns speaking, and so they asked me to speak after. It was painful. It was it brought back so much memory of what went on at that school. It brought back my sister. And I told them there that they asked me if I got my settlement. I said, you know, if they can return my mom and my dad and my siblings, I'd be the happiest person in this world if they can just do that for me, and they'll know where to put their money. Mm-hmm. But they've taken my life away. They've taken my family away. They've taken my culture away. I feel like a walking zombie and a walking dead. Like I don't feel anything. And then I started walking. I wanted to commit suicide, but then, you know, there's so much of this residential school, byproducts of the residential school, around in my surrounding area, the children taking drugs and alcohol to cover up their pain. They don't know why they're hurting so bad. And then that's why I started walking. I got nephews and nieces too. I thought maybe there's a reason why I'm kept alive, because I've slashed my wrist. I've overdosed myself with sleeping pills, and I always pull through. I ran off the road with my car. I survived through that. I took a gun to my head. I'm still here. The gun wouldn't fire, but when somebody picked it up, it did.
Martha, so, how do you think that walking to raise awareness about what happened, how do you think it can help you and other Native people who've suffered as a result of what happened through the generations as a result of residential schools?
It's helped me with my healing. I talk to myself. I ask myself questions why my pain is so immense and why it wouldn't go away. And I feel stronger now. And I just pray that whoever hears me can start on the healing. If you just walk around about 10 blocks in the city or out on the highway and talk to yourself and start your healing, go to the treatment center. I've gone to South and Laylam so many times, and I felt really good there. And the cold water, the little creek they have there, the Healing Creek, I've dipped in there so many times. And it's good.
What actions, Martha, do you think from the government or from the church do you think could help make reparations, but not only compensation, but bring justice and healing to this situation?
I would like them to give out more money for healing and build a monument where the residential school survivors will gather every 16th of September. And more medical, and there's we're not the only Gitxsan people that are hurting. There's Inuit, there's Grass Root people, and there's Blackfoot and Métis. I don't know how many First Nation people there are, but that's the only ones that I know. But there's many, many more out there, and many, many more people that are in pain and suffering that can't come forward. I was reading some letters from internet that people need help. Is somebody out there that can help? Well, I've been walking for 5 years, and if you can hear me, I am trying to help you all.
Martha,
voicing.
Thank you very much for joining me this morning, and I wish you strength on your walk.
Yes, and thank you very much for having me on your radio. And I need help. If somebody is there with a heart that can help me, I need food, water, and a pilot.
Well, if people call into us, we'll give them the number that they need to get in touch with you.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Martha.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Martha Joseph. She's a survivor of the residential school system who is walking to Ottawa to raise awareness about the harms done to First Nations people and their families in residential schools. And as we said, if you'd like to call into us, we can give you a number where you can reach Martha if you would like to support her in her walk.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.